Okay, you mentioned how Washington League students govern themselves. Tell me how you learned about the honor system.
I think when I was a freshman, although a lot of people complained that it wasn't a good enough process, I thought they kind of threw it at us early. We had a big presentation by students about what the honor system meant and what it was and pretty much, the rules of the game, if you will, and the repercussions if you failed to abide by the rules in front of us as freshmen during freshman orientation. And a lot of people say that that wasn't enough and that we it didn't it, you know because you're so new and you've been having so much thrown at you, it didn't sink in enough. Being in that form of a presentation, I think they've developed a couple of videos since then to break it in differently in a different manner. However, they're really just the fact that you had it. At least I had it stuck in my head that if any infraction, no matter how small, is considered stealing, and that we had such incredible freedoms. I mean, it's not considered stealing; it's considered an infraction. Period. Punishable by the most serious of punishments, which was, expulsion. And the fact that we had such incredible freedoms, was for me in and of itself so unique. No one else I knew, none of my other friends in my class of, 250 high school students had anything remote to that I gathered based on discussions when we would get back and during the early holidays and talk about things. I mean, they couldn't believe that, we had unsupervised test taking and we could schedule our own exams and we had, all kinds of different assignments that in their instances would people, plagiarism, stuff like that, which you could get away with at most other schools, just wasn't done, things like that. And yet we didn't have, not that I remember at least, we didn't have too many instances of people getting kicked out for cheating as a freshman that I remember. I remember towards the end of my freshman year, a girl got kicked out like a couple days before graduation. And a lot of people questioned whether or not what she had done was truly cheating. And I didn't know her very well. I figured, if they wouldn't have found her guilty if she hadn't been cheating. As a senior, I talked to one of my friends who was president or on the student, the EC, and he had pretty much told me, he's like, we're not supposed to talk about anything, but I can tell you this much, that there are, I think, representatives from every class, and he said that pretty much 100% of the time, it's not just a majority that rules based on all the evidence and what's there, that you either bring them up on trial or after trial. Actually, I guess the jury actually decides in trial, if I remember correctly, but that you bring them up on trial and accuse them of cheating based on the evidence that the witnesses have presented. And he says, by far and away the majority of the time, it is a high majority of people who do believe that the person was guilty based on what they've been told, and that it is indeed beyond reasonable doubt. And the guy who told me this was really straight up, and I didn't see there being too much of a problem with the honor code, as far as everyone respecting it. But really on two, I guess, broad instances. One was when I was a senior, several freshmen in our pledge class actually got expelled for cheating. And a lot of the other freshmen throughout the university said that the system was unfair, that the two girls in this case who had accused this one student of cheating had said this because they actually just didn't like the guy, and that although he may not have been cheating, it may have just looked like it, that they stood by their story and were convinced that he was cheating. And then they had other witnesses saying that he hadn't been cheating and whatnot. And when he was expelled, other freshmen started like taking the letterheads from the EC and, typing out like real slanderous and derogatory letters saying the EC was false, and it was really kind of bothersome and Neil say disturbing to see people who had been a part of the system for so short amount of time having such disrespect for it. because of that could only lead to negative things. It could, these are the people who are supposed to hand it down, and these are the people who are supposed to respect it, because if it only works as well as we're willing to support it, I guess. And then another instance that I had heard, had a freshman guy who I knew on the soccer team when I was a sophomore, and he actually came up to me one day when we were walking back from practice saying, so, you know, what's up with this honor code stuff anyway? Because this guy's my big brother, said it's just kind of a joke, you know, nobody really pays attention to it anyway, and said, you know, said that he doesn't hesitate, you know, using other people's stuff on his homework and stuff like that all the time. And I that was really the only instance that I ever had of turning, you know, saying, having grounds for drawing attention to someone. But I had, you know, only hearsay that he had actually cheated. Most times I'd ever heard of it was people who had actually seen people, or teachers who actually had physical proof and whatnot. And I turned around and turned, who is this? What are you talking about? And this freshman, you know, refused to tell me his name, realizing that he'd actually confided in probably the wrong person, you know, to say such a thing, in the sense that I wanted to kind of act on it. But, you know, we talked about it a little bit more, and I reassured him that in my mind it definitely wasn't anything to take too lightly. So I had very good experiences with it. And, you know, if you live by it, then you can die by it. And it's obviously a hard thing for freshmen, at least, I guess, to understand, even for seniors to understand. We had a guy, I think, who was a couple semesters away from graduating, and he actually cheated on some stuff, but he had been cheating often. They had actually proven once they went back on he had an open trial. It was the only one I ever got to see. And it was quite interesting, but, you know, by the end of it, pretty much everyone was convinced that he had actually cheated. So, you know, it's there, and this is, I think, a pretty good way to deal with it. But along the same lines, I think that there are certain people who deal with it better. And I don't know if in the recruiting process, if there's any way to help identify students other than looking at their high school record. And I believe that it's been said that if you have any indication that you ever cheated whatsoever in high school, that, you know, forget it. You're not welcome here for the most part. And I think that's something that throws you right out the door. But I'd like to believe that's the case. But I'm curious about whether there are additional ways you can find people who would potentially be more supportive of this. I think it's definitely something that makes it by far one of the more unique places in the country.
It sure seems that way.
It does.
Now, one of the other unique things that definitely now is fancy dress.
Of course.
Do you have any fancy dress stories to share?
Shoot. So many things that, so many stories that ever always come out of that. But I never worked on any of the crews, which kind of surprised people, just because it seems like everyone at one time or another did a bunch of work to help build or construct the actual stuff, because you got free tickets, I think, is what the deal was. But the only thing I ever had happen to me that was even, I guess, that memorable, because, let me think, most of the times they were just really fun, really good weekends. A lot of stories, like I said, came from them, but I don't always remember all of them because there are so many. Was that a date that I had taken my junior year had actually had one of the biggest, largest individuals in my fraternity, who she was friends with, dancing next to us with his girlfriend. And he was swinging it all around and really getting into it and whooping it up. And as I was like spinning my date out, he was spinning his out and stepped back and landed on her ankle. And just, you know, swelled up, turned purple almost immediately. And so we couldn't find a cab, we couldn't find anything, and no one was fit to drive for the most part. We couldn't find any sober drivers, so I had to carry her for the most part, you know, went half on my shoulder and then actually pick her up at one point because she said it hurt so badly, back to my apartment. And then by that point, I was so exhausted that I couldn't go out and do anything else. So that's about it. I'm sure there are many other.
That's memorable, but I don't think anybody.
In a very good way. No, not at all.
That sounds like that would dampen the whole evening.
Yeah, it had that effect, and it dampened the rest of the weekend as well, as you know, because I think it's on Friday, and there are plenty of parties on Saturdays. So
how about Lexington, which was the setting in Washington really important to you?
Oh, very, very much so. Having the Blue Ridge Valley sprawling out all around, having national forests almost, circumscribing the area, and being able to get out with your friends away from school and going camping and fishing, even hunting sometimes, which was before class. I mean, just so many unique things that you wouldn't find anywhere else. Canoeing, going to inner tube and down the rivers, going out to the country houses. You drive 10 minutes away, and you're at these sprawling houses by the rivers, in time to watch the sun go down or shoot some skeet and barbecue and throw a little party, having bands play out in the country and whatnot. And just the fact that it was such a small town, at least for my freshman, sophomore years, I never had to worry about really locking things up. And it just played so well into I think, the honor code system, the honor system period. And we had increasing problems, I think, with the town and having people getting robbed and whatnot. And I think my senior year, one guy actually got shot at, which was a first for Lexington, if I remember correctly. And its proximity to Washington, D.C., which was nice. And its location, by being able to attract so many people from the Georgia area, Nashville, kind of the big, circumference of Maryland, West Virginia, and Virginia. I definitely think that played a huge role in that you were, I've heard it said many times that within, 200, 250 miles radius of that area were some of the greatest political thinkers of our time, found themselves and found inspiration in that area. So I love the area. Don't necessarily like the Lexington police at all. And don't know if I'd want to raise a family there because I know how hard it is to actually grow up in a small town, from stories that my mother told me and also stories that the actual Lexingtonians in my fraternity and in my classes at W&L had, and some of the quirks that they themselves actually had. So, but it's a beautiful place, and I always think of it as home, definitely.
So you come back pretty frequently?
Pretty frequently, but I guess more frequently now than I see myself in a few couple of years, because I have a brother who's a junior there this year.
Oh.
So there's I still know him and his pledge class rather well, so I do have more of a reason to go back. And I see myself finding a gap other than alumni weekends when I know other friends of mine are going to be going back, because I think when you go back and you don't know that many people, it's more depressing and alienating than anything else, until you get to the point where you don't necessarily have to go back for just friends. You can go back for the environment, and you can go back for, with your family, kids and whatnot, things like that. So,
and what year did you graduate?
95.
95.
So I've been out about a year and a half.
So fraternity renaissance was complete by the
exactly.
time you arrived.
Exactly.
So you didn't live through any of that transition.
Thank God, no. It was, we got the beautiful product of it. We were the second class of Rush to go through the fraternity house. And it was very difficult in the sense that the upperclassmen were not accustomed to a house that they had to respect. So we found ourselves in trouble with the university management plenty of times because of broken windows and broken furniture and, broken holes in walls and whatnot. We actually had a guy who got suspended for breaking a window. And from what I understand, it was the only time that President Wilson was ever booed, because there was a meeting, there was such an uproar that this guy was suspended for breaking a window that they had, that the president, I believe, was. It may have been for another reason that they had this meeting, but it was addressed that the student was suspended for breaking the window. Had a meeting in Lee Chapel, and from what I understand, he was not very warmly received because people just didn't agree that, breaking a window was worth being suspended for a couple of weeks or the rest of the semester, however long it was.
You were not there for the meeting?
I wasn't there for that. I was there, that was a year before I got to W&L.
Mm-hmm.
So. It definitely made for some interesting late-night calls from guys in the house panicking because they needed help to help prepare something, which you hope to be able to hide from the house inspection committee, which would come around once every week to make sure everything was in order. So, but I think things have settled down a lot from what I understand, for better or for worse.
So as those guys graduated, people from your class
gradually
were more likely, who'd always seen the house this way,
right,
were more likely
to respect it, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that story about, I'm sure you have, you had to, but I'll ask you anyway, just because it's such a classic story, about the train kidnapping or hijacking?
Do you know that story?
Well, there's a pledge brother of mine, Wynn Hutchinson, who's from West Virginia, whose, I think, grandfather was actually one of the ATOs who I believe was...
I'm trying to track that story down.
I'm pretty sure that his grandfather was...
Is his grandfather still alive?
I believe so. I'm not 100%
sure
on
what's
that.
What's this guy's name?
Hutchinson. The guy's name is Wynn. W-E-N.
The guy in your class.
He's a year below me. He's actually still in Lexington right now. Wynn is. He is... It's W-E-N, I believe, for Wendell. But he is a law student. I think he's a first-year law student.
And his grandfather.
I believe his grandfather. So you have heard of it, though.
Yeah,
right,
but
right.
Just like this. And
okay,
then,
good.
But nobody can tell the story. In fact, some people say that it isn't even really true. It's gone. See, that's
what
they're going to say about
sure,
you someday.
Sure, exactly. Well, from what I understand, it's true. He didn't talk about it that much, but... It's either his grandfather or his father. If I remember correctly, his parents are rather old. So his grandfather may not be alive. But I'm sure his father would be able to tell it because I think he's a third legacy, if I remember correctly.
All right.
So
track
I hope
that
helps. But let's see. Thought about it, but it's usually when you try and think about things the hardest is when they usually don't come to you.
Well... I've asked my standard questions. Is there anything more you'd like to talk about? Anything?
Not really that I can think of. I don't know. I wouldn't be offended at all if you didn't use SAE's name in particular in this, just so that if you use my name, that doesn't bother me at all, and people can go from there. But for their own purposes.
I think it's stronger if it's used as a generic
sure,
story rather
sure,
than
as well. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Sure thing.
This has been
my
a lot
pleasure.
Of fun to meet the man himself.